And God specifically said that these things should be in the Ark of the Covenant. And why did he say these things should be in there? Because there was a message that God wanted to get in their hearts and in their minds and for them to always remember as they traveled throughout the wilderness and as they entered into the promised land. And so we see the first thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant was the pot of manna. And this was a reminder of God's provision.
Ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author Anthony. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Ark of the Covenant from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Ark of the Covenant.
I know the reason that you're on your phone right now is either because your Bible is on your phone, or you say, I know Pastor Glaze is going to say something that is tweetable. Right? So this is tweetable. And I'm going to go slow on it because this is tweetable. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Watch this. My God, that's the bank. Not Mellon, not PNC, not Citizens. Let me say that again. I think y'all missed that, right? All right. My God is the bank. Shall supply. No, I didn't get there yet. Shall supply. That's the check. My God is the bank, shall supply, that's the check. All your need, that's the amount. that's the amount that you put on the check. According to his riches. See, the bank got to have something to back up that check that you write, right? And so we know that, you know, we've seen in recent days banks have gotten into trouble because they can't back up what's out there. But God, his treasure, his resources will never go bankrupt, will never run out. And when God writes the check, you can take it to the bank. But notice this. Because every check. I wrote a check to Bethany last year, and they called me and said, Pastor, we can't cash your check. And I said, why? Because you didn't sign it. Every check has to have a signature. And the signature on this check is, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And on the bottom line, Christ Jesus. Jesus signs the check. So you know it's good. So let me take that slow again. My God is the bank. Shall supply is the check. All your need, that's the amount. According to his riches, that's the treasury. By Christ Jesus, that's the signature. And so God wanted them to be reminded that he was the one who provided for them. But let me move on to the next thing that was in the Ark of the Covenant. And this is a rather strange item. And you might say, well, why would God put this in there? Why would God say to put Aaron's rod in the Ark of the Covenant? Well, if you have your notes, just follow along with me as I read this. Then I'm going to take some principles from this, right? God ordained Moses and Aaron as leaders for the nation of Israel. Now, there were three guys, right, who didn't agree with their leadership. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They had problems with the God-ordained leadership of Moses and Aaron, right? And so they rallied about 250 people, and they rose up, and they said, look here, Moses. We don't think that you're doing a very good job as the leader, and we make a motion that you and Aaron be excommunicated and that we be put into leadership. And as a result of their rebellion and their refusal to cooperate with Moses' instruction, see, that's why you got to be careful, man. The scripture says in Numbers 16 that the earth opened up. God wasn't playing. The earth opened up and swallowed all of them up. The three knuckleheads, the three stooges, and the 250 people that followed them. Right? And so it was in the next chapter, a short time after that, Moses instructed the leaders of the tribe of Israel. Moses said, look, every tribe of Israel, I want you to bring a rod. And I want you to put the name of that tribe on each rod. Except for the tribe of Levi, I want you to write Aaron's name on their rod. And they were to take these rods and they placed them in the holy place of the tabernacle. And God said, the rod of the man that he chose would bloom. And so the next day, Moses went into the tabernacle. And guess what he saw? The rod with Aaron's name on it had sprouted buds, had produced blossoms, and had yielded one of my most favorite nuts, and that's almonds. Wow. Overnight, blossoms, flowers, and almonds. This proved once and for all that God had ordained their leadership. And God told Moses to take Aaron's rod that budded, he said, and put it in the Ark of the Covenant as a testimony for those who speak against God's ordained leadership. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, chapter 20, got mighty quiet in here. Chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. He had established a church there, and he put people in charge. And this is what he said in verse 28. He said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So when we look at leadership in the New Testament, that's why, hopefully, When you called me or Sister Brown and all those who were with her back then, right, when they called me to be their pastor, hopefully there was a lot of prayer that went into that. Hopefully there was a lot of seeking God that went into that, because you want to make sure that you have the man or woman of God that he wants, that he has established. Because if you try to do anything else, it's just going to be a disaster. But once you get God-ordained, God-anointed leadership, then you have to go with the flow. You know, even as we look at leaders in the church, deacons and deaconesses, that's why I tell people, you know, as far as to be a deacon or deaconess, you know, we pray about who to even, that we should even go to. And then once we come up with names, we pray about that. Then we pray before we approach them. And then we ask them to pray. So there's a lot of prayer because we want the people that God wants. And if you have people in leadership that God has placed there, then that's God's anointed for that position. You know, even Saul, all the mess that he did, David said, I will not touch God's anointed, because he knew that God had anointed Saul for leadership. And so God wasn't playing with these folks when they came up and they wanted to challenge Moses and Aaron concerning their leadership. And so God wanted them to always be reminded that when you question leaders that I have, now again, what if Abiham what's some guys' names again? Korah, right? Dathan and Abiram. See, I can remember Moses and Aaron. I can't remember them guys. Right? But what if they would have got in leadership? That wasn't God's anointed. And so it's important that God's ordained and God's anointed people be in leadership. And so as we, you know, break this down to Bethany Baptist Church, you know, we want that here. We want God's leadership here. You know, I'll be honest with you, and I've said this, that, you know, I'm not sure how much longer I got, but I pray that the next person that comes, that, man, y'all praying them in, praying them up, and that this person is God ordained and God anointed. Because when you think about, you know, I go back to Pastor Farmer, Pastor Tame. You know, one of the things that God used them for was to get this church on a solid foundation as far as mission was concerned, and get this church on a solid foundation as far as the Word of God is concerned, and that this church is a Bible teaching mission minded church. And that's the, when I was praying about the church that God wanted me to, I just had two things that were on my list. I said, God, send me to a Bible teaching missions-minded church. And this was a church that God called me to. And so when you look at that, you see how God begins to work, and you want to make sure that you have people that God has anointed, that God has brought. Because when they're there, you know, and you know, I think about Moses, right? And Moses had these three guys, and they got 250 people, and they began to complain against Moses, right? And you remember when God called Moses, that he called him from the burning bush, and Moses came up with about six reasons, you know, why he couldn't do it, right? He said, I stutter. He said that, I'm not a good leader. You know, who am I going to say sent me? He went on and on. And so I was thinking as I was studying that when these three guys and the 250 that came with them came up against Moses, you know what I think Moses said? Well, see, I didn't want to do this anyways. I didn't want to do this anyways, right? But God had anointed him. God had called him. And so we see that in the Ark of the Covenant was Aaron's rod. And finally, we see in the Ark of the Covenant were the Ten Commandments, the tables of the covenant. God gave the Ten Commandments so that the Israelites might learn and obey his law. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy. And the Ten Commandments are found in two places in the Bible. See, so if you ever get on a Bible trivia quiz, that this will be helpful information. It's found in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, and it's also found in Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments. But look what God says before he gives them the Ten Commandments in verse 1. Deuteronomy 5 in verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinance which I speak in your ears this day, that you may, look at this, three things, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. And God was going to make sure that he kept up his part of the bargain by putting them in the Ark of the Covenant so that they would remember those laws. And when you think about it, there were just 10 laws that were in the Ark of the Covenant. However, as you read the first five books of the Bible, there were over 630 laws. And so those 10 represented all the rest. Because if you break the 10 down, you know, the first part of it is man's relationship with God, and the second one is man's relationship with fellow man. And then all the rest of the law comes under that. And so those 10 represented the law. And God wanted to make sure that they kept the law before him. He wanted to make sure that they kept his word before him. Now, if you think about this, in the most sacred place on the earth, in the most sacred vessel, God said that there were three things that need to be in there. And that third thing were the Ten Commandments. Because he holds his word in high esteem. And he wants us to know his word. He wants us to obey his word. He wants us to follow his word. So as I close out, I just want to read James chapter 1. Because God is serious about his word. So serious that he put the Ten Commandments in the sacred box. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and immediately forget what manner of man he was. You looked in the mirror and saw something that was out of order. And then you walked away from it and you didn't address it. You just left it. So you were a hearer and not a doer. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man or woman shall be blessed in all his deed. And so God has given us his word. He was serious about it then, and he's serious about it now. And so I want to challenge us as we close the message today. There was a commercial that came on, and I think it might still come on, but the commercial was, what's in your wallet, right? And if you didn't have a certain credit card, you know, your wallet had no clout. What's in your wallet? And I want to challenge us today to look at the important thing that you have in your life and ask you, what's in your Ark of the Covenant? What's in there? You know, is there something in there to remind you of how God has provided for you? Is there something in your Ark when we look at the people who rebelled against the leadership of Moses and Aaron? Is there something in your Ark that reminds you of your disobedience? A time that you were disobedient? And God, and God had to correct you. Is there something in your box that is a message from God, from his word? Something that we can be reminded of. You know, I don't know what your box is. Maybe it might be a shoe box. Maybe it might be a jewelry box. But just think, that thing that's important to you, if you put things in there that remind you, that are forget-me-nots, of things that you need to go back to. You know, if I had to put something in my box, it would be the time that the Lord spoke to me when I had leg infections for over 3 years, and how that was one of the darkest times in my life, but yet and still how it was one of the most enlightening times in my life. God just showed me. He just poured out things to me. And I would go back and I could look at that time, and I often revisit that time as a time of refreshing and motivation to look back and see what God did, a time how he provided, even though I didn't know what was going on, how that he led me through the wilderness of my life. I can go back and look at that. I can go back and look at messages where I have been disobedient and the Lord spoke to my heart. And I can revisit that time and say, okay, Lord, thank you that I heard you, that I heard what you were saying. I heard what you were speaking to my heart about. I remember, and this is in my box. This is in my box that I was coaching football at Liberty University. And my recruiting area was Atlanta, Georgia. And I used to ride from Lynchburg to Atlanta. And I would listen to music, listen to the radio all the way down. And there was one time that God said, turn that radio off. I got some things I want to tell you. And I turned it off. And from Lynchburg to Atlanta, the Lord spoke to my heart. And these things are in my box. God said to me specifically, he said, I want you to get a doctorate degree. He said, I want you to teach at a college, and I want you to pastor a church. Those were the three things that he spoke clearly to me, and I wrote them down, and I never let those things go. And as a result, I pursued those things because that was the will of God for my life. Saints, I'm asking you today, what's in your box? That the leg infections, that's in my box. Things that I don't want to forget. That trip to Atlanta, that's in my box. You know, God has done great things. And I want to challenge you to think about, just think about right now, what's in your box? What landmark things have God dealt with you on and that you can go back and visit? They were turning points in your life, things that you were headed in one direction and God turned you and had you in another direction. What's in your ark? What have you put away in there? God said, this is important to me, that this pot of manna, that Aaron's rod and the Ten Commandments, it's important that these things are in there. And there's no kind of guessing about it. These are three things. God said, put these things in there. Because they were to impact the people's lives. In the most holy place, it was to impact people's lives. So, my friend, I challenge you today, think about it. What's in your heart?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Mercy Seat from our series, Let Your Glory Fill This Place. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Ark of the Covenant, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Ark of the Covenant. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Ark of the Covenant. Or call us at 877-831-5060. The entire series, Fill This Place, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.